Hit that there
button.
Play
the funky music, quiet Jim.
Right, there welcome along. It is PJ and Jim's after show. And I tell you, we better make it a good one.
We better,
this,
yeah.
This might be our last one.
Why?
What, because what happens if Storm Lorenzo comes along and blows us off the face of the earth, PJ?
Sweeps us off
what
our
feet.
What
happens if this Facebook video and this podcast is all people have to remember us by?
There you go. Like, I don't know. Yeah, this is it. Well, I suppose it better be a good one. Lorenzo is coming. The big Italian. I don't know why he's named Italian after an Italian.
Yeah, came out of Africa.
Yeah. It should be coming at us. Ooh, hey, I love all that African music.
Yeah, the old dancing around. Yeah.
Oh, we are scatterlings of Africa. What's his name? Each and everyone, Johnny.
Paul Simon.
No. Simon. Johnny Mzungu or something like that is his name. Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Something like, anyway, it doesn't matter. But that's neither to do with nothing. But
anyway,
it's coming. Storm Lorenzo's coming, going to sweep us off our feet. Chatting to Alan and Carlo Weather. It's Castaway. There's a lad that does the weather on his own, Carlo Weather. If you haven't heard of Carlo Weather, look him up on Twitter.
Yeah.
He is fucking amazing. He, like, Met Aaron have a huge Met Centre, levers all over the gaff.
Yeah.
They have all
a building
these
in Glasnevin and everything.
Yeah.
In there.
Like, meteorologists, they look out there over the Botanic Gardens. They have all the scientists, all that. They're not a patch on this lad. He's more accurate than any of them.
I mean, he's scientific.
He's not like this half-wit up in Donegal that does with their... When the fox gives birth and lays an egg and the chicken comes out and you see the windy chicken and you know it's going... Not that sort of horse bollocking cock. Like, he's actually a proper... He's brilliant.
Would you say he's set up in his shed? Or his bedroom or something.
Something like that, yeah. It's all home base, but he's so accurate. And, like, he's getting quoted by all the newspapers.
Yeah.
He gets quoted in, like,
I love the way
that
when he's talking to us, he always says, like,
the
reading at my Carlo weather station, and you feel like saying to him, is that your garden, Alan, is it?
Is that the back of your car?
Is that, seriously now? Are you reading that off the dashboard?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that?
And I think he is. I think he is, but he's amazing at what he does. He's sound,
yeah.
So there you go.
Would you be somebody now that would take precautions?
No.
Because you're going to get told, right? You're going to be sick of it now for about the next 12 hours. Like, the government, what's your man's name with the glasses and the comb over?
Specky Forrest.
He's, that's his official name. I think it's Dr. Specky Forrest.
I think it is,
but he's going to be telling you about, you know, like, and things to do and not to do and reds and yellows. And then he's going to introduce somebody and there'll be a bloke from the army and there'll be somebody else from Met Aaron.
Yeah.
And there'll be, you know... So, like, are you going to pay any attention?
No. I've no time for any of this old shit at all. We're from the days when storms used to come and huff and puff and blow. And you were told, make sure you get the kids in before it gets too dark. Because if they get blown into hedges, it's harder to find them when you get them out. So, no, I don't really care about any of that. But, like, but then I'm the arsehole who got stuck coming in the Beast in the East. And the guards had to pull me out and everything. So don't pay any attention to me either. But no, I'm not taking any precautions. Like, I mean, the obvious precautions. I'm not going to go fucking swimming.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go swimming in the sea, or I'm not going to go say, oh, do you know what, it'd be a great day to go for a mountain walk because nobody else would be up there. I have the whole place to myself. Like, I mean, I'll take the precautions of staying at home and if I can. And,
but
like,
I mean,
if I'm going for a walk, I'll be on going up the shop to John to get some brown bread.
But that's what I was going to say. Will you do the old, I better get some supplies in?
No.
I never fully understand that. Just me. I did with the snow because you can get people that are actually, because, you know,
actually
snow
can't
actually
drive.
Does block you, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if a storm passes, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is going to be done, even if it's really bad, right? Unless it's going to be so bad that it blows the fucking shop away.
Yeah.
It'll be over in 12 hours.
12 hours.
The bread you had, the batch, you know,
it'll be grand. You can toast it. It might be a little bit harder, but it won't be gone off. And you can toast it.
Yeah.
But no, we need 42 sliced pans.
Exactly. Why do you need extra for the same period of time?
And no Jack's roll. They go and buy all the food. That's what always shocks me. They go and they buy all the food. They're like, we need cheese on bread. And we need 4 gallons of milk. And I'm like, fuck, I'll buy a cow. Because we can kill that bastard. If it stops milking, then we can eat it. That's all we need. And where's the... No, we don't need the Jack's roll. So it's only 12 hours. Who's going to be shiting that much in 12 hours? It's like, sure, that, like... That's what I never understand. It's just getting in these bits of as long as you can make a sandwich. That's it. It's enough to make a sandwich and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And anything outside of that, Irish people don't deem important.
And the chances are that you probably, like, if, you know, when it hits sort of overnight, the chances are you wouldn't have eaten then anyway.
Yeah.
So, but you still need to get in extra bread and extra milk.
And then, have you enough eggs? Have you enough eggs? I don't know. At 40, is that enough? I don't know. There is two of us. There is two of us, and we'd love an omelette. Yeah. Oh, fuck it. You know something? We get our fish fingers and waffles and beans. Get them all in. Get them all in and the sausages so we can freeze what we don't eat over the 12 hours. You know, and then, what about Jack's roll? Ah, fuck it, no. We'll show you outside. There's that much rain we won't need to wash.
It'll wash away.
It'll be grand. Washing powder. Don't need it. Don't need it. We'll be living indoors in the nude, pooping out the windows and eating sandwiches for the next week. We'll be fine. That's all. I don't really understand.
I love our relationship with storms, though. Because we actually kind of look forward to it.
Look forward to it.
We were saying this earlier on
in
the show.
About,
we actually do. As a nation, you look forward to kind of like...
Yeah.
It's excitement.
Oh, yeah.
It's reality television.
You start talking about it like it's Santa. You don't know why you're going, where's Lorenzo now? He's in Cork now. He's after just coming in over Cork now. And he's doing as he's delivering a load of rain and wind there. And then he's going up there from Clare. And then I tell you, if you want to get any sleep tonight, you better be in bed by 10 in Dublin. Because he'd be coming down and you'd hear the howling in the chimney. Santa.
You've got the picture of these people with their duvets up just under their nose.
Yeah.
I think I can hear them.
What did you get off Lorenzo? Thunder and lightning.
Yeah. I got the flu.
Brilliant. I got the rain and a sandwich
and enough eggs to do me till I'm 27.
Oh, I was brought loads of eggs, and every time I breathed out in the night I could see me breath. It was amazing. You're right, we do. We look forward to it. It's quite,
I even remember it as a kid. You know, what's that? What's the big snow you're always talking about?
1982.
I remember it as a kid. Like, that was like on the radio. You'd be listening to the radio in bed, like you're like smuggled radio in bed.
Yeah.
Listening to people talking about, like, you know,
the storm.
Yeah.
And what was happening.
And be out there in nighttime.
Yeah.
Being outdoors in the nighttime.
In the nighttime.
Having to get other people who had gotten stuck outdoors in the nighttime.
See, I don't remember 1982 that way. I just remember the snow, seeing the snow and playing with it. Well, I do remember 86. I was that bit older then.
Yeah.
And I remember that, watching the hurricane. And when RT presenters, sometimes when they wanted to be really serious, would sound like English people. Remember that?
Yeah.
So you'd have a fella, you know, because RT basically went, and today we're going nationwide, and there'd be a priest going, we're visiting Johnny or Fingerton, who has six fingers and builds boats, and we're going to watch him stitch a goat to his back to keep him warm, you know, all this mad stuff. And then all of a sudden you'd be serious then, because you'd see a man going, you know, this is we are here now. You know that sort of RTE accent. It's neither English nor Irish. Do you know that one?
It's just pompous.
It's just, yeah, the pompous
actually
accent.
Shows up. Now, it's Holocaust, kind of religious.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's
the way you expect a bishop to talk to you.
Yeah, it's like you're going, now that we've had the Holy Host, we'll warn you about the storm that is Hurricane Charlie. And he's rolling in now and he's very angry. Ooh. It's like a panto villain coming in. Panto villain. He has broken windows in Kerry. He has blown women into the river in Cork. It was like this figure.
Putting Storm Lorenzo on Garda Patrol.
Yes.
This window here, this was broken. The culprit was a Force 8 Gale called Lorenzo.
Dirty.
If you see him in the area, avoid. He is dangerous. Approach with care.
Talk about like he's the banshee and all. Remember, that was a mad fucking thing as well. It wasn't storms keeping you awake. Do you remember your dad and all and your ma would try and scare the bollocks out of you to make you go to bed? I've never understood. That never happens anymore, does it?
What, tell me about the banshee?
Yeah, like if you don't go to bed by 10, the boogeyman will rub your toes and he'll shove them up your nose and you bleed out your ears. And he'll feed you to the murderers. You're like, okay, I better go to bed. Well, I don't think I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You couldn't distract yourself in your room.
Yeah, do you get bogeymen anymore?
I don't think they'd scare children the same way.
Yeah, even if it wasn't at night time going to bed, every area had a bogey. There was always a bogeyman.
Yeah, and
area.
My uncle's...
There was always a lad that you thought was like just, you know, he was put on earth purely to eat children.
To eat kids, yeah.
And the truth was, he was probably, it's like you said
some
before.
Poor old hiller.
It's like you said before, where you said it was a bloke that just lived on his own.
That's
in a
was.
House. And then you turned around and said, that's me.
Yeah, well, I've realised it is me. I'm the boogeyman of Dunleary now.
To some six-year-old, people are pointing at you and going,
and they're going,
see him.
You know the fucking man across the road that lives on his own, do you? You know who wears the helmets?
You never see his face.
You know him? You see him scuttering down the road. I'll give you to him. He'll take you away.
Jesus, you're the bogeyman.
I'm the bogeyman. And he'll put you in his attic. And you know what he does up there? He forces kids to smoke cigarettes. They don't want. If you all this mad shit. Yeah. And then you realise that the bogeyman, I've basically become him.
It's a good job they don't really have a bogeyman anymore. Because every area, you couldn't, I'm sure an area wasn't an area if you didn't have, you know, if you didn't have a bogeyman.
And that was Dublin. I think in Cork, my cousins in Cork when we went down, they had the headless horseman. That's who they had. They didn't have a bogeyman.
What the fuck? What was this? 1847?
The headless horseman.
In Cork.
In Cork, they used to say, if you were caught out after 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever it was, they used to say, you'd hear the rattle. And you'd look and you'd see the headless horseman would come and he'd take you to hell in his carriage, was what was said, yeah?
Fucking hell.
This Carroll.
That's fucking Dick Whittington shit.
Yeah, and then they tell us about fucking werewolves. I never slept. I didn't sleep from 1977 to 1986 because of these fuckheads. They'd be scared shitless. I'm only getting over now. And then you wonder why you have anxiety problems as an adult.
So basically in the 70s, if you left Dublin, you travelled back to the 1800s, did you? So how long is it from here to Cork? Oh, it's about 150 years.
About 150 years.
Backwards.
Yeah. You're a headless horseman. Ask anyone in Cork about the headless horseman. They'll tell you. Anyone in Cork can tell you about the headless horseman.
That is unreal.
It was a huge thing, the headless horseman. And the parents and all joining in. You see our dad there smoking a cigarette in front of the fire with a whiskey in one hand. And I said, if you don't go to bed, I'm telling you, you're in Cork now. That headless horse is fucking, takes you to hell. Best friends with the devil. You were like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why do we come here on holidays?
Yeah, you went on your holidays to have a good time.
Then why are we here on holidays, Dad? Is there? Because this is lovely down here. Yeah. Do you remember the sun this morning?
Yeah, but the headless horse.
Yeah, but there's a headless fucker coming to eat me toes and shove up me nose. And scoff me and all. Tonight.
Do you reckon there was a point somewhere in Cork history where a load of adults got together and went, listen, we're going to have to modernise this fucking headless horseman shit.
Like, yeah.
It's the fucking 20th century. Do you know what I mean?
And they were like, yeah, this is getting ridiculous now. The kids aren't buying it anymore.
Yeah.
The headless horseman. Yeah, we'll have to. I remember it so well. I'm being genuinely very afraid of it.
Yeah.
To the point that I was coming back to Dublin going, oh, fucking, at least I've been getting. I know the boogeyman anyway. He lives across the road. He's just living on his own drinking cans. I used to be afraid of him. He's nothing on that headless whore. Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
Different buzz altogether. And there was, I think, and then like, but sure, even my ma tells me stories about her father used to tell her mad stories about staying out late at night and he'd come home and he'd be walking home from the pub and the bodies would be jumping out of the graves and wrapping their arms around his neck and all of that. He's like, oh, gee. And they were kids going, gee, terrified. So it was all designed to not make the kids go out after dark.
Jesus.
But they were scaring them so much.
That must have been the best crack you ever had as an adult. Before television got good. You know, the best crack you had was scaring the shit out of your kids.
Yeah. And then people would be, oh, you're supposed to your dad be down the pub, I suppose, back in the day. She was in Tipperary and all, you know.
Yeah.
So they'd be there going, how's the kids? Oh, they're fine. Are they home alone? Yeah, they are. So they won't go out. Not the fuck they think they'll be killed. I told them, the dead bodies would be jumping around and wrapping their arms around their neck. And they'd be going, that's a good one now. I'll use that myself. You're a great father now. Because I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Oh, my
mad
God.
Stuff, yeah.
Jesus, I tell you. Imagine saying even anything remotely like that to a kid now.
Oh,
you'd be in court.
You would. You'd be, you'd be
mental
up on
charge. Assault or something.
It's some sort of emotional assault. You definitely would. That was just it. You know what I mean? It's like when you used to catch kids smoking, so you just saved them 55 cigarettes and made them go through the whole lot of them.
That's right, yeah.
You're there now.
Yeah, the way you counteracted smoking was to make somebody sick of smoking.
Yeah,
So you think you're a smoker, do you?
Have you now?
Well, there's 20 players.
Yeah, get them in.
There's not even a tip on them.
Get in. I know. You started it. You finish it.
But I only had a silk or purple.
Doesn't matter. Get them all sucking in.
But the ones I had were the candy.
Couldn't give a fuck. 40 major. And you're not going out till you finish them. Couldn't give a fuck.
But they don't even taste like sweets.
I don't give
Shut
a
up
fuck. Did I ask if you were sweets or real? Did I? Smoke the major before I get your fucking granddad's pipe and I kill you all together.
Oh my god.
Ah, childhood. They were the great days, weren't they?
They were. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, they're great
kids,
days.
Kids today don't know what they're missing.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God we survived them. Thank God we survived them. Jeez, there you go. Anyway,
right, there you go. You can go away. You can take that now. You can give it to your kids.
Yeah, yeah. And then
everybody should go out now and tell their kids about the headless horseman. Yeah, and make them smoke 40 major.
Anyway, can we knock this podcast in the head? I have to go through my therapy. I don't know what's wrong with me. It must be something to do with happening when I'm growing up.